Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my 7 pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all 7 areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show. Welcome everyone to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thank you everyone for your loyalty, your subscription, your 5-star reviews. These reviews help us get boosted in the algorithm so more people realize that they can live life balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, I have a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Neil Polacci.
Thank you, Rebecca. Great to be here.
And Neil and I met through a wonderful network called eWomen. And even though it's eWomen, Neil is smart because he knows his ideal client is a woman. So he's going to where his ideal clients are, and that is where I met him. And we have struck up a friendship, and I've been doing some speaking events for him. He is now a guest on this show, and I'm so excited to tell you guys about his background. So Neil is a divorce consultant and founder of the Wealth Creator Company for Women. Neil has specialized in financial coaching for over 15 years. He founded the Divorce Transition Professionals, a national network, in 2017. His financial experience stretches over 5 decades. He was an insurance agent, a financial advisor, and now he specializes in working with women pre, pending, and post-divorce on their financial issues. His network, the Divorce Transition Professionals, provides an expansive network of professionals to handle divorce and beyond. He lives and works in the Conejo Valley, California, and is married to Stacy since 1987. He has 3 kids, ages 20, 20, and 22, and he was born and raised in England and has been in the United States since 1979. Well, cheers to that. I'm drinking my tea in your honor for England, even though it's green tea made in Japan, and it's awesome. I love tea. I'm such a tea person. So how did you get, you're happily married, you know, for I don't know how many years, since 1987. How many years is that?
37.
So you're long-term married, yet yes. You're in the profession of helping women with divorce. So
I know.
How did that happen? Tell us the origin story of how you came to find this marketing niche when you're a happily married guy.
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I have a very understanding why, right? which is a prerequisite. But after 25 years of doing traditional financial planning, I decided I wanted to make a slight change. There were things going on in the industry and, you know, I was getting a little bit burnt out, if you will. So I hired a coach and, you know, she and I sat for, you know, over many meetings and looked at all sorts of different things. And, you know, she did her testing and chatted with me and looked at my previous client base. And she knew me a little from prior experience. And first of all, she said, well, I definitely think you should be working with women. I said, okay, well, that accounts for about 150 million people. So that's not exactly a target
Let's
market.
Stop there. Why why did your coach tell you to work with women? Because usually gay men get along the best with women. What is it about you that makes you get along so well with women? Like, did you grow up with sisters? Like, how did you get along?
Well, 2 daughters, married for a long time, a mother who's a professional, sister who's a business owner. So I did grow up around a lot of really great women. I got 2 first cousins that I grew up with, both girls. I think yes. But you know, the other part of it is, I'm not exactly a shy person. You know, I like to talk. I like to listen. I like to know what's going on. You know, I like the jibber jabber. So I think that was certainly part of it. And so, that was the conclusion. I agreed with her. It didn't surprise me. I gotta say that it's, when I was in the traditional financial planning world, insurance world, and so forth, I would do business with anybody that needed help. And so I did a lot with married couples, and I found that I would always get more information from the wife than the husband, and more honest stuff. It's not that the husbands were dishonest, they were just more closed. And so I would get more information. Anyway, so for me, that's what she said. I said, okay, great. Now we got to boil it down. So we looked at demographics and occupations and all sorts of different things. Do I want to work with female attorneys, or do I want to work with, female physicians, whatever it might be. And ultimately, through the testing of all these different things, she said, well, single women, like divorced and widowed women, is what she started with. I said, yeah. I mean, that just kind of rang true to me. I remember that conversation. And ultimately, that's what we went with. And I just, I'm one of these people that if I feel that something feels right in the gut, assuming it's backed up with a little bit of real knowledge, I'm in 100%. And I did, and I changed, got a new website, did everything, and that was 15 years ago, and I've been doing that ever since.
Wow, that is such a wonderful story. And I'm sure you've helped so many women. Before we get into divorce, I want to know if you're listening that I'm a huge believer in marriage. Obviously, Neil is. He's been married 37 years. I've only been married 2 years. So if I'm married 37 years, I'll be over 100 years old. So that will definitely be a modern miracle. So I don't think I'll ever get to his years of marriage, but you never know. Or maybe I don't know. That's not true. I'm so bad at math, you guys. I'm really bad. The reason I went to Princeton, it was the only Ivy League without a math requirement. But anyway,
That's great.
what is your advice for a long-term marriage? Like, what are some of the tips that you have gotten from your 37 years of marriage to your wife? And then we'll go all into divorce and how to get divorced. But I'm curious to know, what is your advice for a long-term marriage? Do you have any good tips?
I think the main thing is that you've got to be willing to meet in the middle. You got to be a good listener. You've got to be willing. You got to be real patient. I mean, men and women are different animals. There's no question about it. There is a Venus and Mars. I totally get it. I believe it. I'm living it. And I think we can all pretty much agree on that. And so you got to recognize those differences. It's going to be frustrating. Know that there are going to be days that you're going to be angry at each other. Things are not going quite right. There are going to be other days where you're going to be, so happy. It's amazing, and lots of ups and downs. And if you have kids in the, I mean, it can get so complex and complicated, right? But you got to stick with it. And look, yeah, at a certain point, maybe, you decide that it's just not going to work, that you have either both or one of you has done everything that you can, and it's miserable most days, let's say, and it's just not to be. But, give it everything you've got first. Don't give up too quickly. Go get some marriage counseling. We've done it several times throughout our marriage. Talk about things. And if you can't talk about it without getting into an argument every time, then go talk about it with a professional so that
Yeah.
you can get help.
Now, what advice, you have 2 daughters or 3 daughters?
I have two daughters and a son.
So, are you going to tell your daughters to get a prenup? Are you going to tell your daughters to have a separate checking account when they get married? Like, what advice are you going to give them?
Well, I will tell you that that's a great question. First of all my kids have separate finances now.
Okay.
I mean, we started that early. My kids, you said they're 20 and 20. That was correct. They just turned 21, literally, on June the 15th. So they just turned
Happy
21.
birthday to them. They can have a
Yes,
legal drink.
exactly. My 22-year-old will turn 23 on July the 20th. So, but they've all had their own checking accounts and credit cards since they were probably 16 or 17. They pay their own bills. The ones that they pay, they don't pay all their own bills, but the ones that they pay, they have their own credit card, they're building their own credit score. And yes, I would highly recommend that they have joint stuff, but they also have all their own things as well. And a prenup agreement, if they've got some assets, I think would be a very good idea. And I don't think that it's necessarily fair to go into a marriage and then have everything that you've worked hard for be split in the event that it doesn't work out. And the fella may be coming into the marriage with stuff too. So, I mean, it's a two-way street, right?
Right.
I know it's hard to do, it's hard to discuss that stuff, but yeah, I would say to them, at least discuss it.
That's good advice. So my next question is, does divorce have to be ugly?
It doesn't have to be ugly, no. The tagline, or it's almost a mission statement for DTP, the divorce transition professionals that you mentioned that you've spoken at, there's an organization that is full of hundreds of professionals that are in the divorce world, and our mission is making divorce just a little bit easier. So what I say to people is there is no such thing as an easy divorce, but you can have an easier divorce. It doesn't have to be ugly. And, it's not a happy time. If one person has filed, if it wasn't a mutual thing, somebody's upset. Even if you've both agreed on it, it wasn't the plan. I mean, when you got married, that wasn't the plan, but it happened. So, no, it doesn't have to be ugly. And the way for it not to be ugly, quite frankly, is to do your very best to not get too emotional and angry about things that are usually not that important. I find that people are arguing over material things. Like, I don't know, a piece of art or whatever it is, it doesn't always have that much value, but it's not worth the argument. Like, at the end of the day, think about the fact, especially if you have kids, that you want to be able to go to their wedding together. When they have a baby, you want to both be at the hospital and go to the baby shower and all that, and you got to be in the room together.
Yes.
And you don't have to be best friends, but you want it to be amicable. You don't want it to be like there's a elephant in the room every time you're together. That's not going to be fun. So
What do you
think
think makes divorces go ugly?
well, unfortunately, a lot of divorces are as a result of cheating, right?
Yeah.
So
Is that
when
so?
that,
Is that really a major cause for most divorces?
what about most divorces, but it's
Okay.
one of the major causes
Oh,
of divorce. Yeah.
okay.
That is drug addiction and alcoholism, of course, domestic violence, and financial issues.
Yes.
Those would be the four areas, right? And so, but when there's cheating or when there's financial issues, when there's money hidden, when there's huge amounts of debt that hasn't been disclosed, obviously when there's any kind of domestic violence, that's totally unacceptable. So, there's a lot of anger and hurt that goes along with that. And then it's difficult to be reasonable because you're so angry about it. You're like, well, through him, like I want this and I want that and I want full custody of my kids and, you know, I want the house and he should be penalized. But the thing is that, unfortunately, none of those things affect the fact that if you're in a community property state, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So do prenups matter? I mean, if it's
prenups 50, do, yeah.
I heard a lot of people don't even, you know, hold up to their prenups in court.
Well, you know, that unfortunately is a function of how the prenup was written and whether or not the attorney was good at it. And, you know, did they go to some online service to get that done or did they use a lawyer? So, yeah, I mean, like any agreement, people can argue about it, sue over it, and disagree about what it really means. And so, yeah, I mean, people can sue anybody pretty much for anything and then win or lose in court, depending on the day, the judge, the jury. So, yeah, it can be tough even with a prenup. But, you know, having it, there's a certain amount, and I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, there's a certain amount of intent that the court will say, well, yeah, I mean, this is what was intended here. So,
yeah.
But, you know, and we hear about, unfortunately, we hear about the worst stories, right? The ones that hit the media are the millionaires and billionaires whose divorces go bad and you know, kids get messed around and prenups get ruined and so forth. But that's not mostly what happens to, quote unquote, regular people, really. Yeah.
So what are your top 10 divorce financial tips for having a divorce that doesn't break you?
Well, number one, be prepared.
Okay.
Definitely be prepared. I mean, you know, all of my clients are women, 100%. I don't work with men. I don't work with couples. So for me, be prepared. My average client's 50 years old. So maybe she's in more of a traditional type of marriage where she's not as involved in the finances, although that's changing and has been changing for years. And so, you know, some of my clients are making oodles of money and, you know, they're CEO of companies and running multi-million dollar businesses and so forth. But, you know, there's still a certain segment where that's not the case. And even when they earn a lot of money and make a lot of money, that doesn't necessarily mean they're well prepared.
Right.
For a divorce, because they're busy, busy, busy women, and sometimes the details get lost in the shuffle in their personal finances, right? So, you know, be prepared. Make sure that you've got, if you don't already, make sure that you have your own credit, like a credit card. Women that I meet that do not have, well, I have a credit card, yeah, but is it your name? Well, it's got my name on it. Yeah, but is the credit card in, and you find out that it isn't.
Mm.
You know, they have a credit card with their name on it, but the account is in their husband's name. You got to have your own credit. And we can look at that. We can run the credit report and find that out and so on and so forth, or call the credit card company. Make sure that you have your own bank account. I tell my clients, stash some money away. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to do that pre-divorce because, you know, once the divorce is filed, then everything gets frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody's allowed to touch anything.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that, you know, you've stashed some money away, like some cash, some actual cash, so that you've got some wherewithal. Because I've got clients who have had to leave. You know, and how do you do that? And then if you use the credit card that is in his name, then he might know where you are. Maybe you don't want to have him know that, you know, that kind of thing. It's terrible that you have to be a little bit sneaky,
yeah.
But it's not illegal, but you have to do certain things in order to be safe and, you know, make sure that everything's cool. Make sure that you're not doing anything that would put you in jeopardy, like with your kids. Because, well, you know, I saw that, you know, she was slapping his bottom, you know, he's only a 5-year-old and so on and so on. I know, it's like, crazy that that would be a thing. But you've just got to be careful with what you say. Stay off of social media. That would be another tip. Don't be putting all your dirty laundry out there. It's there forever, and they'll use it in court, you know?
Yeah, I have a friend who's airing all her dirty laundry on social media, and so is he, and they're having the battle publicly. Yeah, it's so hard to watch.
Oh, that's so painful.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing would be don't talk to your kids about what's going on with your soon-to-be ex.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to draw them into it. Kids have been put on the stand. You don't want your kid to be on the stand. Avoid it. Don't talk to them. Don't talk badly about your ex, even if you hate his guts, in front of your kids.
Yeah.
That'll come back to bite you. Don't do it.
Yes.
Interview lawyers. Don't pick the first one that you meet. They all have the same degree and training, but they all have a different personality and a different methodology. And you've got to pick the one that works well with you, not just because they have a good reputation or even that your best friend thinks they're the best thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago, and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing, and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, you got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy 2 bottles, it's $25 off. And there's 2 versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health. And there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great. And it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show, and we'll be back to our regular content now.
Like, you got to find one that fits well for you. So interview 3 or 4 before you make a decision, because it's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of money. So I don't know how many I'm at. I'm probably at 7 or 8, but there's a bunch there.
Yeah.
Of tips.
Yeah, those are some great tips. Thank you. So speaking of interviewing lawyers, what should people look for in a divorce attorney?
Well, so that's a great question. You know, what I see a lot, I see this on social media, actually. You probably do, too. Planning on a divorce, please give me recommendations for the biggest, baddest family lawyer that is on the face of the planet, because I need to get nasty, right? I mean, I see that type of stuff on social media all the time. I think that what I find is that you've got to make a decision what direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. Going to court or needing to go to court is the most expensive way you could. I mean, so what are we talking about? In Los Angeles, where we are, you know, average 500 an hour?
Yeah, that's average.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, you put down a retainer, it's going to be 10 grand. And that gets you 20 hours. A few letters, a few phone calls, 5 hours is done.
Yes.
And then one hearing, because it includes traveling to the court, and a couple more letters, phone calls, blah, 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 all 20 hours gone. You're like 6 weeks in and 10 grand is gone. And at 3,000 or 4,000, they're asking you to refill the pot, right?
Of course. Yep.
So, you know, it gets really expensive. So you know, what you want is you want really someone who is a great negotiator. Right, if they're going to be doing, because they're going to be talking to the other lawyer. So are they a good negotiator? Like, give me some examples. Ask them, like, how long has it taken you on, let's take your last 10 clients, how long did it take to settle their case?
That is a great question.
Right. And then you can, well, you know, now we know it's going to take a minimum 6 months because you can't get divorced quicker than that, really,
yes,
in California. Right. And even ask them, like, and you're not asking for any private information. So they should be willing to share because you're not asking for anybody's names. Okay. It took a year. And how many billable hours was that?
Another good question.
Oh, they are 150 or 75 or what, you know, whatever the answer is, they really should be willing to share that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, there's no confidentiality. You're not asking for a specific individual and give me their name and telephone number and social security. You're
right.
Just asking for an average, you know, tell me what the deal is. So, and the other part would be, are they only a litigator or do they also do mediation and collaborative law? You know, so if I end up wanting to do that, go that route, are you going to want to refer that out or is that going to be you or does your partner do that? You know, what's the story with that? Because it doesn't, sometimes you need to look at mediation as an option.
Yeah.
You know, you
well,
don't,
that's another question I had.
Yeah.
What is the difference between mediation and litigation, and how do you know when to use which one?
Well, good question. And you've got collaborative law right in the middle of that. So I'll cover that as well quickly. But litigation clearly is the lawyer who is going to go to hearings and going to go to court, and there's going to be discussions between him and your soon to be ex-spouse's lawyer, and they're going to be negotiating and so on and so forth. It's not a mediation. A mediation is one person. It can be a lawyer or not a lawyer, because there are non-lawyer mediators. And that person is not representing either of you, but rather is a complete neutral who is just helping you by telling you how a law works, both of you in the room at the same time, everybody gets the same information at the same time, and helping you to figure things out together. And then the mediator is kind of coaching you to that end, so that you come to an agreement that works, and then the mediator can write up the agreement, or there could be a separate lawyer to write up the agreement and so forth. I always recommend to my clients, if you're going to use mediators, they're great, but you also probably want to have a lawyer on contract just to review the agreement and give you specific advice. In those situations, you don't generally have to put down a retainer. It's just somebody that you can call up on an hourly basis and say, hey, can you just read this over for me? And they'll send you a bill for 3 hours or whatever their charge is. And that's just because the mediator cannot say to you, okay, you've got Jill and you've got John. Jill, this would work for you. I would highly recommend this. Is it like that? Because he's neutral. That mediator is neutral. The only thing the mediator can say is, if you decide to go this route, this is how it will work. This is what this means.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't tell you, well, this is best for you, because they can't advise you. They're not your representing attorney. And how you know? Well, how you know whether to go mediation or some other methodology? Partly is, do you have agreement from your soon-to-be ex? Is that person willing to sit with one person and see if we can mediate? Can the three of us sit in a room and discuss this reasonably, fill out our paperwork, come back in the room, get through, you know, who's going to have what and what the custody arrangement for the kids is going to look like and how much spousal support one or the other has to pay. And, you know, can we do that? And you might as well give it a shot, because if it doesn't work, you can always go hire a lawyer.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. We tried to have a mediator and we weren't seeing eye to eye on anything. So I was like, all right, we tried it. It's time to hire attorneys. So who else do you need on your team besides an attorney? And that's part of your awesome network. You have so many different professionals and the divorce transition professionals. What would you advise one of your female clients on who they must get on their team to make the divorce as smooth and, you know, not as financially taxing as it could be?
So if they're going to, for instance, let's say there's a house. Now, if sometimes an appraisal needs to be done on that house.
Yes.
Or sometimes a husband and wife can just agree. Okay, we're going to take we're going to look at various online sources. We're going to have one of our realtor friends do a little bit of a neighborhood look, and we're going to come to an agreement. Oh yeah, we both agree this house is worth $975,000. Okay, great. And that's fine. Like, you don't have to have an appraisal, but an appraiser might be needed. If the house is going to be sold, then you need a realtor. And then you will need an appraiser. That'll be pretty much required by the bank. And then each of those people are now going to want to, they need to live somewhere. So they're probably going to need a realtor to help them find a new place or rent a new place or whatever it's going to be, and a mortgage broker if they're going to actually buy a place. So a realtor and a mortgage broker. Ultimately, if there's money in 401ks or in a brokerage account and so forth, they need a financial planner. Now, some of those people may already exist in their life, but depending, I find about 80% of the time, the husband and wife want different people. They don't want the same financial planner anymore, because the financial planner was a college buddy of my husband, and, you know, I want my own planner. And that might happen with a realtor and a mortgage broker as well. And then the other person they'll need ultimately is the estate lawyer, because their trust is essentially defunct. You know, they're not going to want their soon-to-be ex-husband or soon-to-be ex-wife to be their medical power of attorney anymore.
Yeah.
You don't want that person flipping the switch, right? So, you know, you want your best friend or your brother, or maybe you've got kids that are now adults or whatever it may be. So you got to change a few things. You got to change all your insurances. I mean, there's a lot to do. Like, you could have a team of 10 professionals. Ultimately, you need all those people to make sure that you're going to file your own tax return ultimately. Oh, okay. Well, then you need a CPA.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
a lot of people involved.
Yeah. So getting through the divorce and post-divorce are kind of two different things. Like, during the divorce, you may need that realtor. You may need a private investigator. You may need a forensic accountant. Depends on the complexity, right? But the lawyer, the private investigator, the forensic accountant, and the realtor are usually, like, during the divorce people. And then post-divorce, mortgage broker, estate lawyer, insurance agent, you know, some of these other people need to become involved to make sure that you are properly protected and, you know, have what you need with insurance and other documents.
Why would somebody need to hire a private investigator?
Because they think that something's being hidden, or something is being hidden.
Like assets. Hiding money? Okay. Mm,
yeah. I've been involved in several situations where we've hired a private investigator. Well, I say we, I mean, it's really the client hiring the private investigator, or the lawyer does and then charges the client through the lawyer. But that private investigator is, I mean, they're looking for money. They're looking for bank accounts. They're looking for a paper trail. Oh, well, we bought this property, but it was put in his brother's name because. So there's a paper trail that's developed. Where did that money come from? And you can show that the money came from your bank account, even though that house is now in somebody else's name, that it's really your asset. And maybe you hid it and you were part of that even, but now he's trying to say that it isn't part of the community property assets. And then sometimes there's bank account and debt that is not disclosed, which
so
is a big.
What about hire, other than like hiding money and debt, do people hire private investigators to prove that their spouse is cheating?
Well, they do. They do, although it has no impact on the divorce.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It has no impact on the outcome of the divorce because cheating
No.
isn't illegal.
That's right. So, they may want, they do it because they want to know.
It is, yeah.
Okay, fine. To me, it's a waste of, you'll probably find out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just wait a little bit. You'll probably find out anyway. So I wouldn't spend money on that yet. But people do feel that way. They'll say, well, he did this and he did that and he cheated on me, he lied about this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. But there's no penalty for that. No financial penalty.
Yeah.
He'll just be dealing with it in his own mind. What goes around comes around.
So how do you keep your vibration high personally? Because this show is all about keeping your vibration high so you can magnetize like health, wealth, success, romance. You're hearing so many sob stories and angry stories and
Yeah.
acrimony. How do you personally, Neil, keep your vibration high? Because you're a very jovial guy. So
yeah.
what is your secret?
Well, for me, my goal for the client is that you're going to have a great life.
Yes.
Right? So that's always my thought. When they come into me pre-divorce, it's always like, well, I'm sorry that you're going through this. I'm sorry that you're thinking about doing this. And, I'll do my best to support you during it and so on and so forth. But ultimately, a year or two down the road, you are going to be in a different place. You're going to have a great life. My thing is not, oh my God, you're 50. My thing is, you're only 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are living in a time where 50 is barely middle age anymore.
Sure.
So, not only could you live 50 years, but 30 of those years could be amazingly productive.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Right?
Right.
So if you're 50 years old, you've got a lot of my clients, they have college degrees and so forth. I mean, these are smart people. They look, 3 years from now, you could be a lawyer. Like, go to law school.
Yeah, anything can happen.
Start a new career. Open up a business. Invest in yourself. Get a certification of some kind. Go to school to do whatever the heck you want to do. Like, is there something in your life that 20 years ago you gave up on because you got married, had kids, or whatever? Maybe you want to reignite that. There's all sorts of opportunities. So to me, it's always about having the glass be half full.
Yeah,
you
I
are
did
gonna you're gonna go through some crap. I get it.
Yes.
But you're gonna come out of the other end, and that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not an oncoming train. It's a real light, and there's something out there for you. We just got to find it.
Yeah. People spend so much money on wedding receptions and the band, the DJ, the gifts. I think they should have divorce parties because it's a big life transition, just like a wedding, just like a marriage, just like a baby shower. And they're choosing a new life for themselves. So
Right.
Why not have a divorce party and a cake and a DJ? I mean, they're
I love it.
celebrating a new chapter and they are choosing them rather than staying in a relationship that is toxic and no longer serves them. And even if the other person divorced them, they can still have a divorce party to celebrate this new phase of their life. And I agree
Yeah.
what you said. 50 is the new 30. I mean, we have a J-Lo, swinging down a pole at Super Bowl halftime, when she's in her early 50s. So things are definitely changing. So, Neil, this has been amazing. I know my audiences, especially if they're, on the brink or know someone on the brink of a divorce, will want to get in touch with you. How can people stay in touch with you?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. Number one, I don't have a gatekeeper, right? Everybody probably knows that term. So feel free to call or text me directly at 818-606-7327. I answer my own phone. I respond to my own texts. Please feel free to, really. I really, really mean that. If you want to look at like some pre-divorce classes, you can go to divorcetransitionmastermind.com, divorcetransitionmastermind.com, and you can look at some of the pre-divorce financial class that we offer. And if you want a 26-week, like little coaching letters that go out every week, you can go to the Wealth creatorcompany.com and sign up for that. And that's completely free. And you'll get some tips every week for the next 26 weeks and so forth. So, and I'm happy to help. I do a free consult. I really, and during that consult, it's great information. It's not just about how you can hire me. It's real information. And that may be all you need. You may not need to hire me. Maybe something very, very straightforward. So feel free to pick up the phone, text me, email me. Happy to help.
All right. Well, Neil, you just gave your number to thousands of people all over the world.
That's fine.
Hopefully they won't blow you up too much. But definitely if you're on the brink or not sure or scared and you just want to bounce some ideas off Neil, like he said, he's going to give you a free consult. There's no pressure to hire him if it's not a fit, and he's, committed to give you value. So that's amazing. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to another fantastic episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I so appreciate you rating, reviewing, subscribing, sharing this episode with a friend. This is a movement, guys. We can achieve health, happiness, and success without burnout. So I'm Rebecca, your host, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing show. I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the seven key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a six-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering three complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all seven areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's on a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.